Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of Tech Plus Plus. As always, I'm here with my boys in tech, Aaron and Andres.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
Hey, how's it going?
And today we'll be talking about diversity in technology, some cool, interesting websites you may not know about, and last but not least, our favorite programming languages. Yeah, but before we get into it, wow, guys, episode 7.
Okay. Yeah,
it feels weird. It doesn't feel like it has been so long, but with this whole pandemic going on, how are you guys feeling in general?
Yeah, life's moving like fast and slow at the same time.
Yeah, it's definitely weird. Like in a couple of weeks or 1 or 2 weeks, it's October already.
I know, it's insane.
Yeah, and this was supposed to end in April.
Yeah, I feel like this month in general has been going pretty fast.
Mm-hmm. So fast.
Yeah. But slow at the same time.
Yeah, we're living in a...
Yeah, weekends go by extremely fast and weeks go extremely slow. But recently, as you both probably know, it's probably all over my social media. I've been like working on reviving and amping up my PC that I built in college. So I haven't been leaving like my room a lot. Which I should start doing. I need a little more sun.
Well, it's some vitamin hard. D. Yeah. It's been hard with all the smoke out, because I definitely feel you. I've tried to get outside, but all the smoke in California, it's just air quality's bad.
I mean, it's calming down now.
For sure. Like the weather outside, at least where we are, it's really good. Thinking about going back, hitting the running close to our house with Andrew sometimes. Yeah. It's just, I think the PC also itself is just so addicting and so satisfying to play around with. Like I was telling Aaron too earlier, I was up till like 2:30, 3 p.m., 3 p.m., 3 a.m. That's how tired I am last night working on it. It's just extremely satisfying, you know? But overall, how are you all doing with the working from home?
I can go. I've actually been going into the office. So we've had a couple new hires now as a result of like pandemic, but our industry, we still need to push stuff out. So I've been going into the office and it's kind of crazy not having everyone there, you know. Mm-hmm. Granted, we have people across the United States, but our main hub is here in California. And, there's maybe 10 people in the office a day where it should be supporting like 30 to 40, which is pretty crazy. But other than that, I like being in the office because it's so much easier to get your work done. It's so much easier to like get in the right mind state. That's what was holding me back, but it was so hard about working from home is there's no mental switch. Like my desk was in my living room, right? Yeah. So when you log off for the day, it's like, do you really log off? Your head doesn't switch.
Yeah, it's been definitely rough. Andres, you want to go before I do? Go ahead.
Yeah. So this week I actually went to the office on a Monday. So I've been working for I think 4 months now. So it's my very first time going, which was nice because they were still trying to remodel our branch, our San Jose branch, and it looked nice. They kind of gave me a little tour, gave me like my ID and everything, set me up in, I just kind of set up my environment, my working environment. It's nice, but like Aaron said, there's less people in the office for us. But it was nice to go there and catch up to people that I've only met
online.
You know. So, but it was nice. It was a good day. And then, there's the shopping center is like probably like a 1 minute drive. So when I went to get lunch, it was like easy. So it's that was nice.
Something to look forward to when you get back into the office, huh?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I'm a little concerned. Might have to meal prep on that one. Cause sometimes, the money
could get pricey.
Yeah. One day a week, a week.
Exactly. Yeah. No, see, that's, you brought up lunch, man. I miss like the lunch at our office.
Because you get it. Yeah.
Yeah, we get lunch and it was so nice. Like only like $4 or $5 for like a fat ass meal, man. I definitely miss that. I love working from home, but I definitely see Aaron your side with the mental switch thing. Like sometimes I'm just like sitting in my room now that like I like it's all in one now. My gaming, my work, my office, my like where I do my homeworks and stuff, they're all in one place now, and I'm just barely getting out of my seat. And then I was wondering the other day why my back hurt. I'm out here like, oh, why is my back hurting? It's like I'm sitting like a shrimp for like 10 years now.
Bro, I still think about
have
that. It
scoliosis.
Like, yeah, dude, yeah, I'm already like 90 years old now. But the other day, so it was an unfortunate event. My work laptop stopped working. It was a good excuse to go back to the office because I definitely miss the area, our campus and stuff. So I went back to so I can give it to our IT to look at it. So when I went back, wow, man, it was so depressing. Like I walked in. It was nice that the security like realized who I was. I walked in, even with the mask. The guy goes, "Ali Rizza," and I was like, "This guy still remembers me. That's nice." And then I was like, "Oh," I actually told him, it was so sudden that I was like, "Oh, you still remember me?" And then he goes, "I think it's the Jeep, man. It wasn't."
Oh,
I was like,
yeah.
"Great." He saw my Jeep. I was like, "Cool, great, man. I appreciate it."
It's like, yeah.
"Hey, it's that guy with the
Yeah,
Jeep."
it's the dude with the Jeep.
It's the dude with the
But
Jeep.
it was so depressing because of like the place I work, when you walk into the office, there's a big ass like TV screen, like an entire wall basically of TVs, and there's usually like colorful stuff, like everything is so bright and there's people laughing and walking around and stuff. But now when I went, bro, it was so
Is
depressing.
all
Everything
off.
was turned off. Yeah,
Yeah.
there was like lamps missing, like everyone was wearing masks and depressed and stuff. I was like, wow, dude, like what happened to us? But yeah, it was definitely like kind of weary. Like I didn't want to be there anymore, you know, which sucks. I
Yeah.
really like our campus, so we'll see how it goes. Like I want to know how companies revive from this, you know?
Yeah, hopefully 2021, we get to see how it works coming back to the office.
Yeah. All right.
Definitely.
Great. It was nice catching up with you guys and just talking about this kind of stuff. Also something that I want to bring up before we continue to the actual segments. As listeners may know, we're starting to record a week earlier. So we're actually recording this on the 20th, Sunday. And TikTok is getting banned
Oh,
today.
really?
Yeah.
TikTok is today's the day.
Today
Well,
is the day. It's a soft ban, I want to say. So if you guys didn't know, TikTok was actually accepted to work with Oracle.
It's kind of a weird one there, because they're only going to handle the data. They're not going to handle the company.
That's exactly why they wanted
So.
to do it through Oracle, because they didn't want to be controlled by like Microsoft. You know, Microsoft would own them, actually make money out of them, versus Oracle is like, you know, it's just a trust thing. But it's TikTok and WeChat. Those two are getting banned today, but it's a soft ban, meaning people cannot install them anymore. But overall,
Gotta see which side of the bed
apparently.
Trump woke up on, you
Yeah,
know?
apparently in November, from what I've read and heard, in November it's going to be a hard ban, that it's just not going to work. Well, not being able to install from the store also means you can't update it anymore, which is kind of ass, you know? So it could actually have security vulnerabilities and stuff. So I do suggest maybe starting to delete it now, because if it does have a security vulnerability, they cannot help you fix it,
I see a
because there's
topic in
no
the future
APM.
episode.
Yeah, so it's going to be some interesting stuff. But yeah, I just wanted to bring it up because today is the milestone, the highlight of 2020.
TikTok
You
getting
know,
banned.
this is the peak 2020 highlight. All right. But on a serious note, let's just jump into the actual segments. It's a little bit more serious on my side. Diversity in technology world. For the most part, I'm going to be talking about this article that I'm going to be putting at the bottom of this episode. I highly suggest everyone to read it. It is really, really long, but it is a really, really interesting topic and article. I'm gonna just go through it just a tiny bit because I don't want to make this episode a lot longer than usual. Just want to go a tiny bit through that and then talk about our workspaces and how diversity works with us and some opinions. And I would love to also hear from listeners later on telling me what do you guys think about diversity and inclusion in workspace in general. It doesn't have to be tech world, but in general, that's going to be in our social media. We're going to have some post up and we're going to talk to you guys more about that.
Yeah, I'd love to hear your
Anyways,
thoughts.
yep. So racial diversity. So this article is called The Future of Diversity and Inclusion in Tech, but it talks a lot about like the most more recent stuff in the beginning, and that's what I'm going to go over. And then I'm gonna let you guys read more about the future part on your own time and then come back to us and tell us what you guys think. We're gonna have some questions up. I would love to discuss with you guys. Before that, we're gonna go around just asking you guys. We're gonna talk about what is our nationality. I was gonna say currently, but I'm gonna change it.
No, never changes.
But what's our nationality? So I'm Iranian American. Born and raised in Iran. So I'm actually kind of like the minority of the minorities. It is very rare to finding Persians and Iranians. So it's been always a rough time. But let's go, Andres.
Yeah, so I'm 100% Mexican, born and raised.
100%.
So,
100%.
yeah, 100%. Nothing special, but you know,
Very
nice
special. You made it here.
coming from my nationality. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, that's my nationality.
There.
Yeah, I'm Filipino American. I was born and raised in the United States. My mom's side came up from the Philippines, and then my dad grew up in the Midwest, so.
Nice. So obviously, like us three are pretty diverse, and I think that's why we clicked pretty well in the beginning as well,
Very true.
because it was as weird as it sounds. It's kind of still rare to find, like other nationalities in the tech world. I will talk a little bit more about that, but let's talk about the article a little bit. So again, it's called "The Future of Diversity and Inclusion in Tech." You can find the link below. Please read it. It starts off by talking about Anil Dash, which is the CEO of Glitch and the co-founder of ThinkUp. She was the she or he? I should look this up. This is not
Jesus.
good. Hold
This guy.
up. Because he's a, I think it's a guy.
That keyboard, though.
Nice. So yeah, so
Okay.
Anil Dash is the CEO, like I said, of Glitch, and he was the first social media analytic tool, which is actually pretty interesting. And he wrote a essay in 2007, which is already feels like outdated, right? What is that,
Super
13 years
outdated,
ago?
yeah.
13 years ago.
Super
Yep.
outdated.
So, and it's called The Old Boys Club is for the Losers. And the Old Boys Club refers to the white male dominant industry of technology, right? And when I looked at this, I was like, that's 2007. That makes sense, right? Like in 2007, like tech world was dominated by all these white people and white male, I guess,
Well, not
people.
just the tech world, but yeah.
But yeah, for the most of the tech industries, but if you wanted to like dive exactly into the tech world, right, it was male, white male dominant, right?
Absolutely.
And I was just like reading more about it. I was like, oh, this is kind of outdated, like at least going back to my own story, like in my own company, it's extremely diverse. I've seen people from all walks of life, you know, every type, and I love it. So I was like, this is outdated. So I read a little bit more into it. And before getting into the actual stats, there's this other person, Ellen Poe, which she sued her employer for discrimination against women not so long after that. And Ellen Poe, I think it's Poe or Poe, I think it's Poe. She is like one of the, I guess, first people who showed that that power exists, that you can actually sue your own employer for discrimination, right?
One of the first to speak out, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And that kind of made a boom of like everyone just coming out saying, oh yeah, my employer is also shit. My employer is also shit. And that kind of just like started scaring like the big tech companies, FAANG and A plus. And if for you guys don't know, FAANG stands for Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, and Google. And A plus is Airbnb, Pinterest, Lyft, Uber, and Slack.
Just tech giants, you know.
Exactly. So these two are the biggest one of the major biggest companies in the world, right? With maximum amount of people, like money, everything. So these people started kind of like, shit, we need to be careful, right? Because this kind of stuff is never good for your company. So later on in 2014, for the first time, Google, because of this thing happening, they tried to, it's actually really interesting. They tried to
They gave a
kind
diversity
of,
report.
right. It was the first time ever somebody gave a diversity report.
That's
But it didn't
crazy.
help them, right? It didn't really help them because it was, they reported 61% white and 69% male in the company. It is pretty good, I guess, to think about 2014. It's I guess getting a little bit better. Like about 39% non-white and about 30% female
Female.
or other, right? And when we move forward from this a little bit more, FAANG and A plus, they started just creating these reports in general. And I will add the report also at the bottom, but I will open the report just to going over all this stuff. So, like we said, that was 2007 where like all that happened, right? When we said the old boys club is for losers, right?
Yeah.
Now in 2019, very recent, very relevant. I'm just gonna pinpoint some companies here. No hate, Apple.
Jeez.
So for example, Apple. I'm looking at it right now. There is 50% of the company is white, 23% Asian, 14% Latinx, 9% black, and two or more races is below 5%, and then other in general, like it's almost none. Very, very minor. So again, like we said, white dominant. Looking at some other companies here, probably the ones with the most white dudes are Slack with 54%. So we do see that they're getting better, right? Especially Google, since we already had the data on Google. Google is now 54% white versus it used to be
61.
61%.
Yeah.
61%. Yeah. So it is getting better, but is it though, like 50% of the company, like almost half the company, one in every two people pretty much is white.
Well,
And
I mean,
then one in two is other than white. We're saying there's so many other races, right? Go
well,
ahead, were you gonna say something?
yeah, well, it's such a big company. How do you bring about that change? It's gonna take so like years and years to, because you can't just fire somebody based on their
The race.
race, even though that
Or
person
race
may
or
be
something.
white. You know, that's still you could argue discrimination, right?
Right. You said you, it's actually a great segue. You said you can't fire someone because of their race. My question to you guys is it okay to hire someone because of race?
See, and that's a very, very slippery slope, right? It's scary when you, I think I know where you're getting with this, is like if you have a quota for how many people of X race that you need to hire to meet these standards, that's a scary thing, right?
Exactly.
But you need to look at things through a diverse lens, right? But you also need to hire the best possible candidates for the position that you're looking for.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. No, I definitely stand on the same steps with you. Andres, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I think like having the skills, it's kind of what matters the most. Because that's literally what's written on the job statement, you know. As long as the candidate has the skills for whatever position they're going for, there
Right.
shouldn't be any look into what nationality they're coming from,
Right. But
or
do you guys think there is still discrimination going on right now? Like, If a black female trying to apply for the same position as a white male, do you guys think in our time right now in 2020, the hiring manager actually cares about this, like the color of their skin and if the whether they're male or female, or do you guys just think they're actually human enough to kind of consider them based on their skills and not who they are?
Well, I mean, I guarantee you're going to be able to find cases where, they're going to discriminate against that person. But
So they say.
the conversations that have been started back in when did she sue her company? 2014. What the conversations? It's making its way around, right? So people are very much more aware of it. So I mean, I think it's less, but that you're still going to be able to find people discriminating against.
Exactly. So that brings me up to your my next question, which kind of you guys answered, but I want to talk a little bit about it more. What do you guys think about it? Do you guys think race and diversity matters in when it comes to tech world? Like, oh, we should have a quota, or we should get more people that are from different countries, maybe open offices in other countries, maybe not, I guess, offices that completely brings to a different question, but the race and diversity in itself. I think I have a pretty strong opinion about that, but I'll let you guys go first.
I think quotas maybe are not the way to go, but I think diversity in your workforce is absolutely essential. Just getting different perspectives, people from different that speak different languages think differently about different problems. It's you need all of that to solve the problems that Google, Airbnb, Uber, Slack, Amazon, Facebook, Apple, all these companies, you need that diverse background to solve the problems that they are trying to solve. These are not trivial problems. Like you need you need everybody's thought power on this, but quotas, like I said, I don't know if that's a good way to go. I mean, I don't know how, you give the statistics of your company and see how that matches up against, say, the population of the United States, right? I don't know how, like, I don't have enough research and knowledge on that to tell whether it should be like that or should not be like that,
And just what do you think?
For me, I want to keep my statement short and sweet, and it might sound the same as Aaron's, but definitely diversity is very important when it comes, especially when it comes to team-based projects. Just having a diverse teams gives in different points of view on the project or whatever you're working with. It's also good to work with different people from different diversities because it can teach you new ways to approach a problem
Exactly.
or broader ideas based on what they think. So I feel like that's very important, especially in tech companies.
It's actually yep, exactly. I'm in the same boat with you guys as well. But the diversity is very important. You learn from other people. It's the same problem of why isn't, for example, Apple or Google or any other companies in Silicon Valley only hire from Berkeley, right? Why
Oh,
don't they
true.
just from Berkeley, right? Like, if we don't talk about race and we talk about like a school wise, like they're supposed to be the smartest people in the Bay Area. Or I'm gonna get a lot of hate for this, but why don't they, right? It's because of the fact that sure, maybe they learned some stuff, but they all learned the same damn thing. You know what I mean? Other schools
Very
teach
true.
different things, and you put those two and two together and you learn something new. So now, when you get diversity, when you hire people from outside of the country, when you hire people from the outside of the state, when you hire people from a different race, they've learned those different things. They grew up a different way and they learned life a different way. They know how to tackle things differently. Sure, you can get the same white dude, the same I already said dude, same white dude. I was gonna say guy. And a lot of these like racial communities, like they end up kind of growing up the same way. Sure, everyone has a different background of how they grew up, but kind of the same way. If you hire someone from India, China, Middle Eastern countries, right? Their culture, their religion, the way they talk, the way they act, everything is different, right? And they grew up being diverse. They grew up as minorities, so they know exactly how to tackle problems.
And
but
hard
yeah,
problems at that.
exactly. Very, very hard problems, right? Like I feel like in America we're having it too good with how like we're living and stuff. The people in the third world countries like have a problem every day, you know what I mean? Like something like coronavirus in some countries are they're daily, you know what I mean? They're used to this. So yeah, overall I don't want to make this a lot longer than it is. It was a great segment. Thank you guys for your opinions. Again, I have and I will, I guess, attached this article. This was literally us putting our toes in the water with this article. It is an extremely long article, but it is highly, highly recommended to read. And please, please, please read and let us know because I would love to discuss with you guys on our social media, again, on Instagram possibly, or email us and just yell at me and tell me why race doesn't matter in tech
Yeah,
world.
and we didn't even, explore gender.
Exactly.
So that's another
This
huge one. So please
exactly.
start
Yeah,
the
so just
conversation.
email us, send it on Instagram. We'll talk about those again later on how you can reach us, but Instagram tech plus plus podcast, email tech plus plus podcast at gmail.com. Also I will add the data that I got from the report for the diversity
Yeah, all that'll be
for
in
the
there.
2019 also at the bottom. Cool, let's go on a lighter story.
Yeah, let's take a step
Andres.
back.
Yeah, let me light up this mood a little bit. Okay, so for my
Hard to follow.
section, yeah, harder swallow pills sometimes. For my section, I'll be talking about some pretty cool websites that I've seen that are worth visiting. A few of these are just funny and cool, but some are actually pretty interesting from its visuals to its functionalities, which I'll try to get into details. So let me start off. So I know Google Maps offers the information of how long it will take you to get from point A to point B. So it knows which street is busy and which one is not. With that being said, wouldn't it be nice to have this type of functionality before your local grocery stores? Well, ladies and gentlemen, there is a website that does exactly that. The website is called Grocery Check. So the cool thing about this website is that it shows you how busy grocery stores are in real time. So you're looking at Google Maps, for example, through your browser. That's pretty much how this website looks, which makes it easy to interact with because
Familiar.
it looks and feels just the same as Google Maps. The interesting part about this website is that it stores the stores are color-coded from that ranges from red to green, which it represents how busy it is. So red will pretty much tell you that the store is packed, and green means there's less people. So it might be good to go grocery shopping around that time. So let me stop there for a sec. Aaron and Ollie, what do you guys think about this website?
I think it's pretty useful.
Yeah.
Just looking at it's cool that they have like the again, listeners probably can find this at the bottom, but it's cool that they can there's like different color codes and you can kind of tell it's kind of like a self-explanatory color codes. Like how green is probably less traffic than like red and stuff. It's cool. It's pretty cool.
I think it's especially important these days where people may be still even now afraid to go out, afraid to be in their community. And one of those things is going to the grocery store, right? And that's something that's essential. So being able to know whether your store is busy right now or not is pretty useful. And I think I saw a lot of stuff like this, like where you have live update dashboard type things. Like I remember go scrolling through Reddit and like all the learn programming stuff because I follow all those Reddit pages. And people are just making, live update COVID counters and stuff like that as their projects. It's just kind of funny, people making all this live update stuff.
Sorry, quick, a little bit sidetracked question. Do you know how is this being tracked? Like, how do they know how busy, like, it's
That's
stored?
actually a good question. So this actually kind of goes on to what I was gonna say. So how this website works is that it analyzes location data from Google servers.
Sketchy.
So yeah,
Well, yeah.
to sh it kind of it represents it as numbers. I think that's kind of the only data that they get. And they get it real time. And with that information, it finds some type of calculation like the crowd average in that store, which then that number is represented as a color. So yellow is okay, green is a good average, and red will be a bad time to go to the
I'm
store.
kind of wondering though, that's, I mean, it's a cool website, but I'm just wondering because like how do they, because each store is different size, right? What do they see as a green and what do they see as a red? Like, is it based on the capacity that the store takes, or is it like
Jeez, I would hope
because like
so.
you know what I
That could
mean?
be a
Like
factor. Yeah.
five people in like a small like Indian or Chinese like local family owned
Yeah,
store,
absolutely.
right? Is a lot of people versus five people at like Costco. You know what I mean? So it's like I wonder how they do these things. That's cool. That's a
Yeah. And I think businesses have to go into that website and kind of request
Oh, really?
for that thing.
It looks
So
like it's a
like
very
if
limited area right now in Canada too.
You can switch out up to Silicon Valley. Right now, I'm looking at
Oh, really?
San Francisco and Oakland.
Oh, shoot. I didn't see that. I thought it was.
Yeah.
I wonder why they don't just have it like.
I mean, you got to think that they're just testing it out right now. They're probably gonna,
Let me see.
expand. But this is
Let's
definitely a cool
see.
idea. If they can move this to mobile, I think it would be, very, very useful.
Yeah, man, you guys are reading me today because that's literally what I was gonna say now. So far users can visit this website through their laptops or mobile devices, but the team is thinking of eventually creating an app version of this. So I'll see if I could let you guys know when this happens because
Can we reach the team, do you know? That would be cool if we can get in conversation with them.
yeah, because yeah, there's definitely a lot of back-end stuff that I didn't really I don't really know about, but
Contact us.
yeah, but yeah, it would be nice to have this kind of app in your hands, like on your mobile device to see how busy your local store are before actually going to the store, especially when it comes to places like Costco. So yeah, that's a grocery check.
Cool.
And I'll definitely put the link in our description. But now on to the next one. This one is called rave.dj, and it's pretty straightforward, but I like the what they did and with the concept of mixing songs together into one playlist. So the interesting part about this is that it does beat matching using AI. So you could feed it as many songs as you want, and it will try to create a flow for each song. So it
Weird.
actually feels like you're out there DJing, which is pretty cool if you don't have those crazy DJ setups, or you just want to mix all your favorite songs together. It's also nice that after the website finishes completing your mix, it generates a link that you could always go back to. So,
Oh, like a
you could
permanent
save it.
link?
Yep,
Wow.
it's generated. So you could save the link for yourself and then you could go back to your mix, whenever you want. So, as of now, you could, create mixes using YouTube videos or you could connect your Spotify,
That's pretty cool.
to do the mashups.
Yeah, like
Yeah.
let me get my favorite Spotify playlist in there, mash it up.
Yeah, it's funny because that's kind of what I did.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like the I did a few mixes for myself, using my Spotify account, because you could just connect to it and upload your playlist.
How'd that turn out?
It was good. Yeah, I liked the flow. It was very catchy. Definitely not like, stuff that you see from like DJing, but it's literally it just matches it up and it shows it as a video. So it gets the data, like the name title, and then it looks it up on YouTube and
Oh, it'll
then
play
it
in the
turns it
background
as
or
a video.
something. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so there were some songs that like I didn't even know there was some music video for. So,
That's cool.
pretty cool.
I went into the website right now. I like how it has like a section for trending
Oh, trending DJs.
DJs.
That's DJ Absolute
Okay, dude.
Garbage.
Yeah.
DJ Hans
That's
is really
trending
garbage.
number
That's his
one, bro.
name. That's his name.
The
And his
website
that's funny.
self-roasted themselves, bro.
Oh no.
DJ Absolute Garbage.
It was
My boy slaps.
my place. It was funny. I think there was a mix of like anime songs, and I'm like, oh, this reminds me of some
Yeah,
Vocaloid
straight
shit.
up, huh?
Trying to do
That's
some
funny.
mixing. But yeah, Rave.DJ. That's another one. I'm pretty sure most of our audience might be hearing this podcast episode using earphones. So, have you guys ever wondered how it would feel to have hearing loss?
Oh, Jesus.
Well, you guessed it right. There is a website that can feed that curiosity of yours. So, this website is also pretty simple. You go onto the website, you click a start button, and the website will start playing some sound.
Oh, it's playing. Okay.
I guess like if you hear it for yourself, I would recommend plugging in some earphones or headphones. But yeah, there's many different sounds that you could hear, from example, some birds, some music, and I'm not gonna lie, the song that they have there on repeat kind of slaps.
Yeah, does
It's
it?
actually pretty cool, but it's just like on the loop, and it's funny. And there's also a weird person that's like on repeat saying the cricket frog, acres, grinless, dorsey. I don't know. It's weird. Some frog name. It's the smallest species in the forest on the loop, pretty much. But the interesting part about it is that it has a slider, which where you could like change the range, and it ranges from ages 20 to 90. So it, overall, like the higher you go,
The
the
shittier
less you're
your hearing
able.
is.
Yeah, the less you are able to hear some specific wave sound, which kind of shows, the older you get, the more you will start not being able to catch some small details and sound waves.
Bro, this is depressing. God damn.
Yeah, I was gonna say that, kind of depressing,
I
but
was just
it
like
is what it
sliding
is.
it right now, and I was like, wow.
It's like you
It's
get
like,
to
is there
90 and you
supposed to
can't
be
hear
some
anything.
sound?
Yeah, dude. Damn.
But yeah, it's nice that this data was gathered from a study around 2003 old, but they found hearing threshold levels with that data. So
Pretty crazy.
with that, they were able to show how the sound it will feel once you kind of reach that threshold age. So that's
You know,
interesting.
I need one of these sites for my like vision. I haven't been to the eye doctor in like years, and I feel like it's deteriorated.
You don't even wear glasses, huh?
No, well, I've always had 20/20 vision, but now like I look at the TV screen, I'm like, fuck, some of that shit's blurry, bro.
20/20 vision, my ass, bro.
Well, that was like in high school, the
Yeah.
last time I did it,
In
right?
high school,
Well,
dude.
I think I did it one time during college, and
Yeah.
it still checked out.
Wow, dude. Computer
The last time.
scientist playing hella video
Yeah,
games
yeah,
and
yeah.
still
Yeah.
blurry
No, it's
vision.
for sure changed now. I don't
Yeah.
know what it's gonna be.
Yeah, mine is pretty
Yeah,
bad.
the last time I checked was probably like high school. So I'm with you guys right now.
With me, bro. I wear glasses.
Oh my God.
It's rough.
I see beautifully.
Yeah, but okay. But last but not least, Aaron and Ollie, have you guys ever watched the movie Up?
Sure. I don't know where you're trying to get with this. Yeah.
Well, for those who have watched this movie, did you guys ever consider how many balloons it will take for you, for your house to fly away like that dude's house
Didn't
did?
they
Let me
do a
see how.
MythBusters on this?
Yeah. Oh, did you guys? There was that dude that recently did it too.
Oh, David Blaine.
Yeah. I watched it. He did that. Let me see how much my
Hey.
fat ass needs. Hold
Okay, he probably went through this website and it's like, okay, this is how many
up.
balloons I need.
He's like, all right, this is exactly the
Yeah, well, again, there is
That's
this
cool.
site that does that, and this site just it's a helium balloon calculator. So all you do is give it the weight of the of an object or a person, and it will tell you how many balloons and you'll need to, pretty much fly away
Wait, hold the fuck
into.
on, dude. In the website, they actually talk about David Blaine. Oh, I
Oh,
actually think if
interesting.
he actually used it or not. Oh, look, it says, and in a while, it might be nearly possible, perfectly achievable. A performer and magician, David Blaine has proved it on the 2nd of September after 10 years of preparation. Probably not,
There
because he was
it
pre-prepared for 10
is.
years. I don't think this website is 10 years
25,000
old.
feet though.
Oh.
That's up there. That's like you have no oxygen up there.
Have you watched it, Aaron? I
I've
was watching
only
it
seen a
live.
couple. I've only seen a couple of clips.
It's interesting. I watched the whole thing. He actually almost passed out up there. He was like his
Oh
daughter called to
God.
talk to him, and he was like, I can't talk. I need to focus on breathing.
Yeah, there's like no oxygen.
Jesus.
That's the problem with climbing like Mount Everest and stuff like that. Crazy.
But pretty cool. But I guess the challenging part if you're actually trying to make your house fly away is you first need to find the weight of your house. So good luck.
That's
Yeah,
it. Let's end
that's
it
it.
there. I
Too
might
late.
get one of
Yeah.
those mini
Anyways.
houses. They build it out of like a
Trailer?
trailer. No, there's like
Trailer.
a series about it on YouTube. I need to find it and come back with it.
But yeah, that's kind of all I got on my
Can I
side.
add a website into
Yeah.
here?
Yeah,
There's a website called Let Me Google That For You.
yeah.
And
Oh.
so if somebody
Gonna love
is asking you a
it.
question, about like something that they could easily find the answer to, like stupid easy, if they just Google it, that's what this website comes in handy for. Let's say, like, I want to Google how to Google something, and I'll get the link for it from Let Me Google That For You. And you can even select like the include internet explainer. And then when you send somebody that
Oh,
link, like it gives you a video of like, hey, this is the internet and this is how you use it. You use these things to
my
search, like Google, AOL, all that sort of
God.
stuff. You use these things to search it. You just type in your question to the search bar, and here's where you click. And it's a video just displaying all of
Oh
that.
my God.
It's so funny.
This part is new, like the internet explainer.
Yeah, it's like, hey, this is the internet.
And it's actually cool that I've always loved the fact that it's still interactable. The part that's like click here,
And
and when
it
you click it, it actually Googles it for them.
yeah.
I remember like the amount of toxicity with TAs and stuff, TAs and tutors.
Yeah.
It's
Oh my
like,
God.
because honestly, like every answer you need in tech, it's probably on Google already. So it's like, bro,
Ridiculous.
why are you asking me how to do like a for loop? Literally, let me Google that for you. Like, you know what I mean? So,
Yeah.
I don't
Oh,
remember everything. Should I Google half of this stuff already? I just know how to find it because of Google.
like that. That's like when someone asked me a question, like I have to Google it anyway.
And
So
sometimes I
fucking
Google it
do
right in
it.
front of them.
It's like, oh yeah, I don't know. Let's check it out for ourselves. That's funny. But yeah, thank you, Aaron. We'll definitely add that one on the list.
Yeah, absolutely. This one's a good one. Fuck with your friends a little bit.
Yeah. So that's all I got. But I'll shift it now to Aaron. What do you have for us today?
Cool. Well, we haven't had a very technical segment in a while, so I wanted to propose the question today. What is your favorite programming language or favorite programming languages? I wanted to, give the listeners, you guys, an idea of our programming interests and kind of what we like to do or what we like to code in. So, Ali, Andres, what are you like, you know, top three, top five programming languages?
Yeah, I can go first. Well, from the bottom up, I would say C++ for like last from my top five.
Yeah.
Top four, three, whatever. C++, because I think C++ is a really good umbrella language to learn. That's the reason I know other languages. That's what we learned in college. So C++ definitely there.
It has many applicable, you know.
Yeah. Sort of nostalgia of it. Then after that, just scripting languages in general, such as Python and shell scripting, Bash, PowerShell. PowerShell, I've been getting a lot into it with my recent job, like it's cool. Automation and stuff. It's super, super powerful because it uses like .NET in the back end. So it's a really crazy powerful scripting tool. So it's fun to use it, actually. Mm-hmm. And my top one, I have to give it to C#. Yep. They're probably one of the more powerful languages nowadays when it comes to especially like cloud computing and creating clouds and stuff. And I think I'm in love with it just because that's been my daily, man. Like I've been working in C#.NET base.
I was gonna ask. It's
been super, super powerful. The stuff that I learn literally every day about C#, I'm always shocked. I'm like, holy crap, like languages have this power, you know?
Yeah.
So it's cool. Also, like a fun fact, I don't know if it's true or not. You guys know how it's like there's C and then C++. It looks like so plus means like plus one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like C2, kind of like part two of C. And then did you guys see like there was an image explaining why it's called C#?
It's because it's C++++.
Yeah, it's plus. Yeah, it's four pluses. And I was like, if that's true, whoever made that, a genius.
It's five heads. Like four
pluses. Yeah.
Oh my hell god!
Funny. So yeah, it's like I guess to be fair, it honestly does not look too much like C or C++. It's more of Java than anything, like with like try catch blocks and stuff like that, and await async and stuff. But I definitely love it. I'm learning so much, especially with our world getting into cloud computing.
Mm-hmm.
It's really really cool to work with it. But yeah,
nice. Andres?
Yeah. For me, I want to say Bash scripting, JavaScript, Python, C++, and R for...
So that was 1 through 5?
Like data analysis.
Like your top is Bash?
1 through 5, okay. Yeah. But why I like Bash is, you know, ever since I started working here at my company, I've been doing a lot of Bash scripting. So this language just kind of became my number one because of that. It's so powerful when it comes to gathering data. Like you're able to call APIs. And by the way, an API is... Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah,
you could do it through curl.
Oh, duh, that's right. Okay, never mind.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, an API is application programming interface. So it's software that allows two applications to talk to each other. So it's able to deliver your request to the provider that you're requesting it from. And then it delivers the response back to you. But yeah, with that kind of data, you can, you know, for example, call an API, get the data, append it to a file, and maybe even send it to a database in just a few lines of code, mm-hmm. which
pretty powerful.
It makes it so easy to do complex stuff. And you know, without installing any external libraries or softwares. So, you know, you could do crazy things like, let's just say, looking for a string in a file that could be over 20,000 lines of data.
Yeah, and grep does it pretty quick.
Yep. And I remember we did that a lot, Ali, for NCL.
I used to be like a pro bash script.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah, like remember you did that competition?
Yeah.
And yeah, that was crazy. But yeah, Bash is kind of my go-to. But I think when it comes to projects, I've mostly done I've used JavaScript because I just like doing web-based projects. I remember I once did a small Spotify player. So users were able to connect to my application, and it would return music that they could hear. It was all random generated, so it wasn't perfect, but it was fun to write
I remember that. That was pretty cool.
code for him. Yeah, because you were able to. So I wrote the code, I hosted it, and it was actually user and interactive. So
Pretty cool.
yeah, that's kind of my list and why I liked it.
All right. Well, I'll go ahead and talk about mine then. So mine, starting from the bottom, my fifth one would be LaTeX. LaTeX you use to build like Word documents and documentation. It's like making a document in Word or in Google Docs, but you get to control almost every single aspect of it. My
I
fourth.
never got into it. You use that a lot in college, no? I
Yes,
remember you.
bro.
I'd never even like touched it, to be honest.
Bro, I saw because I took a physics class with a friend, and he was like all into that, like LaTeX. And this guy would take notes. Like he would
LaTeX, yeah.
actually write the
Wow.
formulas using that.
Oh, because you could
And
format it easily.
yep. And it looks so like nice.
What is
Like
it? Does it turn it into like HTML? How do you
I
view
would
it?
assume so, yeah.
You have to compile it. But I mean, like, when you open it, does it come as like as a what kind of file? Is it like a PDF file, an Yeah, you can
HTML
open it in
file?
PDF, like once you
Oh
compile
yeah,
it. Yeah.
interesting.
Yeah, like my company uses it to write our documentation.
That's cool.
It's so nice.
So the fourth one would be Ruby. So I had a programming languages class in college where we learned about all the different programming language paradigms, and we had to do a project on one. I did mine on Ruby. It's very similar to Python. It's object-oriented language. I wrote like a little like a Dungeons and Dragons dice roller game with it. It's pretty cool.
Nice.
My third one is JavaScript. I built my senior project a full stack website using almost fully JavaScript. And then we also use JavaScript for our tech stack for our website, but we can get into that in a later episode. My second one is C++. Again, the n nostalgia factor. It
Yeah.
basically provided the base of my programming knowledge. It has allowed me to maneuver into like Ruby, and then my top programming language, which is Python. I freaking love Python. It's an awesome programming language. I highly recommend using it. I use it almost, 5, 6 days out of the week. So some really big reasons why I think Python is awesome is it can be used for so many things: back-end web development, game development, desktop apps, AI, machine learning, data science, big data, web scraping, business applications, math and finance is like the latest, coming around to is like, 'cause why use Excel and stuff when you can use Python, it's just getting to that point. There are only a couple things you can't do with it really. That's front-end development and mobile, but I think mobile development is coming up in the future. So look out for that.
Python and mobile. It's going to be interesting.
Well, back end,
Yeah.
right?
Oh, yeah.
Like infrastructure, like business logic type stuff. Another big reason why I think Python is great is it's easy to learn. Like I picked it up very quickly, especially with the C++ background. I picked it up super quickly in college. The syntax, really, it just reads like English. And so you see a lot of stuff online of people like, hey, if you want to learn programming, learn Python. Because it's just the easiest one to get started with. Literally, if you wanted to do a Hello World, which is every single programmer's introduction to programming, it's literally just print Hello World. Yeah. And that's all you need.
Hello
Like
world.
it's so many tutorials. That brings me into the next reason why it's so good is that there is a massive Python community. Seriously, if you have any problem, if you want to do anything at all, like anything you can think of, you Google it and somebody has most likely done it. And if you can't find it, you probably shouldn't be doing what you're trying to do. They have so many resources, guides, how-tos, books. I mean, you Google Python, you're going to get endless resources. It's actually crazy. And along with that too comes like a lot of packages, modules, libraries that people have written, that I use on a daily basis. Like I researched a lot of these and integrated them into my work environment. Like I researched about Python, which or not Python, pandas, which allows you to work with a lot of data. And I basically brought that into one of my testing suites for my job. And I was able to like gather data, format it the way that I want it to be, and like produce our testing results or produce results that I have for a certain test that I do, like that type of stuff. Super cool. And also with that comes a lot of open source code. So a lot of like things for both beginners and advanced people like to contribute to write documentation for. Like there's so many resources out there. Another thing is Python has conventions. There are PyCon. I definitely want to attend PyCon. It got canceled or like it got moved to online this year due to COVID, obviously. But that's something I'm definitely looking forward to. And there's like a ton of podcasts about it, like anything. I listen to one called Python Bytes where they just talk about all news related to Python. It's a bunch of cool stuff that's happening, you know, et cetera. Super duper cool. I'm super into it. So a couple of smaller things that they like I like about Python is its package manager is easy to use. It's really easy to like download modules, try it out, remove them if you need to. Or if you have like a bunch of them, there's an easy way to install a bunch of packages all in one command. It has an interpreter, so I can try things quickly. You know, that's one of my pet peeves is when somebody asks something about the programming language and they don't Google it or try it out in the interpreter first. I'm like one example is, does an empty string, like, is that none? Is it false? Like, what is it? So you just open up the interpreter and then if empty string is none, like print yes or whatever it is. You know what I mean? Like, it's just super easy to try all that stuff out. It has virtual environment support. So it gets you away from that, it works on my machine, but not yours problem. It's like, we have this virtual environment. You just need it to work in here, basically. And it, that way it's super portable. You can put it on multiple machines and it'll work the same exact way on every machine. That's like a super hard problem to solve in the tech industry, believe it or not. And then it's used heavily for automation, which is like my entire job is automating tasks. But to get some like cool things that I've done with it, I think my favorite thing that I've done with Python is I've ordered Domino's pizza using a Python script.
I remember.
Yeah, that was so cool.
Yeah, like I put my information in and I used a credit card. So this probably wasn't the best way to do it. I only had a $500 limit, so nobody could really like get me if they got my information. But I ordered Domino's pizza. I tried to explain it to the guy when he brought me the pizza. I was like, I ordered this using a programming language. And he was like, all right, dude, it's like $15.
He's like, cool, bro.
Like, I just need you to sign the receipt, man.
Like, wow, this dude is speaking another language. You could die.
Yeah, you could know it. I mean, that's I was funny. Super excited, but he did not feel my enthusiasm at all.
He probably had a rough day.
I mean, I hope so. That was pretty cool.
It's like, hey, Billy, get a load of this guy.
Yeah. Nerd.
Give me my $15.
Yeah, exactly. Another thing, I've built the back end of a website for a school project I did. I've also used Python to bake in like automated test result reporting to my company's testing framework. We have our own personal one that we've written. And I basically added like automatic test result reporting to it. Super cool. It's used literally on a nightly basis because all of our tests run overnight. So all those results are automatically, you know, picked up and then pushed up to, well, we use Jira. So it's pushed up to Jira so that all the data is there. Everybody can view it in the company. You know what I mean? I've also, this is a really, really nerdy thing, but I think it's super cool and it shows how flexible Python is. I was able to, for one of the things that I did, put in a pre-instantiation check for an object to ensure that an object could not be created under a certain condition. So I don't know if you guys have ever like messed with that, but I check to make sure that you're giving me good information and information that hasn't already been used before I fully create the object for you to use.
Yeah, that's yeah. We do that a lot in C# and my company too, because literally, especially with like cloud stuff, right? Like, you create a lot of objects, especially what my company does. The consumer is allowed to create objects, and there is so many checks to make sure it's not the same ID, that not the same name, not the same like attributes, and like all this stuff. And it's surprising how like fast it does everything,
Really?
you know?
Yeah, seriously
Like
though.
maybe over 1 million object, not 1 million. I want to say our when we were like stress testing it was 100,000 objects, and it created it, I want to say, in what was it, like 5 minutes?
Yeah, that's a lot of memory. Yeah.
And it that's like, yeah, that's I think almost it's that's a couple of gigs, I believe. I'm not sure, but it checks everything, right? If in the database there is another object that's exactly like that, if there's another object with the same ID, if there's another object, all these checks all together, but it goes so fast. Kind of
Really?
ridiculous.
Crazy. That's such a cool feature of programming languages, in my opinion. I never knew you could do that before I did it. And I've done like so many other cool things in Python. If you guys want to hear about it, please reach out through the email or on Instagram or something like that, because I can go on and on and on about this. And just for the cherry on top, we built our smart mirror using Python. So yeah, Python is awesome. I highly recommend if you are wanting to get into programming, check Python out. But that, I think, does it for me. Do you guys have anything else?
That's it for me.
But I mean, if you guys wanna share your cool projects, do let us
Oh,
know.
yeah,
We'd like
definitely.
to hear from you guys, you
If
know.
you guys
Yeah,
have any.
I would love to have what is it, project reviews. I'll rate your
Rate your
projects.
project. Yeah.
It's like in today's list, we have
Trash. Yeah. And then we'll put you up on the website just to roast you a little more.
No,
No.
but that would be fun. Please do send us your projects, GitHub repos if you guys
GitHub
want us
repos.
to
Yeah,
look
please.
into it. That'll be fun.
Have you guys heard of Lisp?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you guys think about it? I'm just
What
curious.
paradigm is it? Is it functional?
AI.
Yeah, AI. It's like the second oldest high-level programming language.
Bro, Aaron, we did that
Yeah,
in
an AI. But it's a is it
It's shitty. I
it's
hate
a
it.
it's it follows a programming paradigm.
It's literally there's an if else.
Yeah. But the syntax is just a crazy
Yeah,
nightmare.
yeah. Yeah. Oh no, it's awful. Yeah, but it's I don't know how to describe it. I don't know how I feel about it. I would need to do a couple more projects in it before.
Yeah, definitely good for AI, but.
It's like the meme is like somebody realizing AI is just a bunch of if else statements, and it's somebody behind them with a gun. And it's like always has been.
It always has been, man.
Okay.
But all right. Thank you, listener. I appreciate it for listening to episode 7 of the Tech Plus Plus podcast. Please, if you're interested, go to our website at techplusplus.podcast.com. We're going to be updating it more or less every episode now. We're going to try and have something new, like a new feature, or like some sort of update, bug fix, whatever, every single episode. So be looking out for that. Again, that's techpluspluspodcast.com. Follow us on our social medias. We have Instagram at Tech Plus Plus Podcast. That's Tech PLUSPLUS Podcast. And on Twitter at Tech Plus Plus underscore. Again, that's Tech PLUSPLUS underscore. And email us, please, please, please email us. We love to hear from you guys at Tech Plus Plus Podcast at gmail.com. But after that, thank you very much, everybody. That was a good one.
Have a good one,
Thank you,
everyone.
guys.
Bye.